grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, St. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 23. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and cried, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely possessed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. Since I've never been a parent, I can't possibly know what it's like for a father or mother to have an apparently incurable child. But I have seen the sufferings of parents of such children. I remember a boy named Stephen who at just 13 years of age was diagnosed with advanced lung cancer. Needless to say, Stephen had never smoked, nor had any member of his extended family. His parents and his grandmother were truly devout and faithful Christians, pillars of St. John's Lutheran Church in Springfield, Pennsylvania, where I served as pastor for 6 years. I often think that one of the most difficult things I have ever done as a pastor was visiting Stephen and seeing his mother's anguish as cancer brought his life to its end in little more than a year. In the Gospel for this second Sunday in Lent, we see a mother's anguish at her daughter's apparently incurable condition. After a confrontation with the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, Jesus left the familiar neighborhood of Galilee and withdrew to the Gentile territory of Tyre and Sidon. And it was there that a Canaanite woman, not a Jew, but a Gentile, comes and begs for Jesus' help. To Jews, including Jesus' disciples, this Canaanite woman was a nobody. But still she follows Jesus, no doubt having heard about him from the crowds which had heard his teaching and seen the healings he had performed. She addresses Jesus as Lord and Son of David, meaning that she sees him as the long-expected Messiah and Savior. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But Jesus says nothing in response to her cry for help. And his disciples urge him to get rid of this nuisance who's bothering them. Jesus replies, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But even hearing these words, the woman doesn't give up. She comes and kneels before Jesus. Literally, she throws herself on the ground at Jesus' feet, crying out, "Lord, help me." But Jesus replies, "It is not fair to take the children's bread," meaning the Israelites, "and throw it to the dogs," meaning Gentiles, like this Canaanite woman. But even then, this Canaanite woman doesn't give up. She instead speaks words of astonishing faith and humility. She doesn't contradict Jesus. She says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table," as if to say, well, as a Canaanite and not an Israelite, I'm not much. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And Jesus replies, "O woman, great is your faith," and her daughter was healed instantly. Such humility, such simple trust in Jesus. This is a difficult story. It is hard to understand. So, what is the Lord Jesus teaching us here? Consider three things. First of all, we must expect that there will be times in our lives when God will seem strange and distant, when he'll seem to be indifferent to our plight and our cries for help for ourselves or for those we love. So it was with this Canaanite woman, and such is the experience of every Christian. In such times, God is teaching us to trust him no matter what. The much suffering Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Second, we learn that God never fails to answer our prayers in his time and in his way. Even when we seem to be waiting for an answer for months and even years. You remember that St. Paul three times asked God to be freed from some kind of affliction, which he calls a thorn in the flesh. And three times the Lord says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." My strength is made perfect in weakness. The point is that God alone knows what is best for us. And he knows that there can be times when carefree, happy days can be a danger, since we then so often forget and ignore him and his will. And so it is that in the litany which we pray at our Lenten services on Wednesday evening, we pray that God would deliver us not only in all time of our tribulation, but also in all time of our prosperity. Third, we need to remember that any sufferings we endure as believers are not punishment for our sins. Because the Lord Jesus on the cross bore all the punishment we by our sins have deserved, yet we do in fact experience the consequences of our sins. But this is not punishment, but a way in which the merciful Lord permits us to experience sin's painful consequences so that we turn from them and live. There can be no doubt the gospel read on this second Sunday in Lent is one of the most difficult of the entire church year. But it shows us how we should respond to the apparent silence of God. Whenever I read this story of the Canaanite woman, there come to mind the words of the hymn. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Amen.